Well, Australia's digital economy currently requires 100,000 more technology workers between now and 2024. So at the moment, it's about 700,000 ICT workers in the workspace, and we need to make sure that we have 100,000 to meet the demands. And potentially, if we need to actually lead the world stage, we need probably 200,000, if not more. So there's a huge demand for tech workers.
So how come the businesses need 100 to 200,000 new technology workers within the next 5 years?
Well, we think it's really important that we upskill and reskill our current workforce, because as you know, technology-driven disruption is disrupting the work, and the types of work, the skills required is changing. So by upskilling, we are minimizing impact on the existing workers, but also making sure that they're ready for the workforce needs. That's number one. And also attracting top talent from across the world. We don't have the talent, enough talent around the country. We need to attract them from around the world. So those are the shorter term initiatives that we can take. In terms of longer term, we need to make sure that our education system continues to evolve and adapts to the needs and is able to meet the demands of not just the tech sector, but all the industries in the future.
So when you're talking about this new technology that will be affecting businesses and requiring people to be upskilled to meet them, what exactly do these upskilling and these new technology disruptions, what do they look like? What do businesses need to be on the lookout for when they are training their new staff members or existing employees?
Well, the most important thing is it's important that Australian citizens understand how technology works and not just become consumers of technology. So understanding how technology works and being tech savvy means they'll be able to derive value from technologies. And disruption comes in many forms, and technology-driven disruption mostly is through automation. So if people are doing, let's say, repetitive tasks that requires a lot of consistency, then they're the first ones to be automated. And if they're automated, what are the people going to be doing? And they're usually lower-level jobs. So by upskilling them to take on... So let me use a tech industry example, testing. So it used to be manual testing of software systems, and we had so many people running different tests to see if a certain program is working fine. But now there's all these automated testing. And automated testing can be more efficient, doesn't require that much resources, and could be deployed very quickly. So those testers have quite a lot of skills other than testing skills that they can be deployed to take up other technology-related jobs.
And do you feel that Australia has not really been too receptive to new technologies?
I think Australia's been reasonably receptive to new technologies, but where we have been lagging a little bit, where we can improve, is the investment into these new technologies. So, for example, Australia, in terms of government, we've invested, we've committed to invest $29.9 million over 4 years for artificial intelligence, as an example, compared to France and South Korea investing $2 billion plus each, and quite a lot of the other similar developed economies are investing in the tune of billions. So we need to, there is the desire, but we need to really, if we are to derive value from these emerging technologies, there needs to be reasonable investment there.
Do you feel that if we do embrace new technologies, we could see something along the lines of like Silicon Valley over in the US and California here in Australia?
Well, I used to work in the Silicon Valley for a short period of time. I don't think we need to necessarily create a Silicon Valley as such because it's rather unique. But there are certainly a lot of lessons that we can learn from Silicon Valley and those sort of ecosystems for Australia. And one of the other findings that's related to Australia's ACS Digital Pulse is startups. We believe startups can really help supercharge our economy. And so the investment into startups could be improved, not just from assistance from government policies and etc., but also individuals and corporates' investment into startups. So could we actually provide better tax incentives for individuals and corporates investing in startups?
Do you feel that there is anything that should be done on a federal level from the government to try and encourage more, I guess, new businesses and new technologies within Australia?
Absolutely. So the government should definitely help. If you look at the three levels of government that we have in Australia, they employ 16% of the workforce. So that's a significant percentage of the workforce. Therefore, they have quite a lot of the buying power, and that's 2 million workers that we can reskill, upskill, so that either they stay within that government sector or they go to other sectors or start their own businesses. So that's one. The other one is the tax landscape. Certainly, the tax landscape needs to be simplified a little bit, and like I suggested earlier, the incentives for investments, inbound investments, if we could make it a lot more attractive. So if you use the UK, for example, their arrangements are such that you would get over if you invest $200,000 over a three-year period, you'd get 38.6% return. If we invest the same amount in Australia in an early stage startup, you would get about 18% in return. So that's more than double what you get in UK. So could we actually learn some of the lessons from UK and have a system that's similar to that, if not better, so that our investment goes to the startups here rather than going to startups and investments overseas?